Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, June 20th, 2021. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 26. I'm going to read this again. This brings back a host of wonderful memories for me. I'm going to share one of those with you. It says, the kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground while he sleeps and rises. Night and day the seed sprouts and grows. So he doesn't know how the ground produces fruit on its own, and first a blade, then the head, then the full grain of the head, then crop is ready. He swings the sickle without delay because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what should we compare the kingdom of God? Or with what parable may we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is one of the smallest of all the seeds planted in the ground. Yet when it's planted, it grows up, becomes larger than all the garden plants, puts out large branches so the birds of the sky can nest under its shade. And with many similar parables, he continued to speak the word of God to them as much as they were able to hear. He didn't speak to them without a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. This is what God says. This is what we're looking at today. It's amazing. The kingdom of God reminds me of this collegiate guy. And he and the love of his life. Oh, yeah. And it's their summer, and they're going to be kind of close to each other. This guy is in one city, and the love of his life is in another city. And the guy has a summer job that has him work at night. The gal has a day job that has her work till noon. So the only time they can be together and just hang out is in the afternoon, late afternoon, early evening. So he buys a bicycle. And after he gets off of work, he gets on his bicycle and goes those 20, 25 miles to the next city. And then talks to this person's grandma and grandpa. Not the grandma, it's the grandpa. And talks to the grandpa. Grandpa has an extra spare room, so that's where he sleeps until the love of his life gets off of work and then comes over, and then they just hang out together and enjoy walking in the woods, things like that. Well, while I was going back and forth to see Donna, I thought, how cool is this? All these beautiful flowers. And they're just magnificent things. So I would pick up a flower, and I stick it, and I go, and I put it in a little container and put it on the table, and her grandpa would see this, and he'd say, oh, okay, all right, fine. And then one day, well, first of all, just so you know, a different flower every day. There are so many wild flowers. It's so beautiful. One day, as I'm driving my bicycle, I see this flower. It just knocks my socks off. It's a magnificent flower. It is a bright, purpley blue, and it's like fluorescent. It just pops right out, and it's big, about the size of my fist. I thought, what a neat flower. She's never seen anything like that. I haven't seen it, and it's wild. So I went down to the ditch, cut that off, put it in a little container, took it over with me, continued on my biking, put it in he had a globe, a glass globe I could put it into, so I filled that with water, put it in there, and then went, took my nap, came back, and he was there, and she came, and she was just so pleased with this flower, and I was just so pleased that she was pleased, and in comes Grandpa, and he starts to giggle, and he starts to laugh. He can't control his laughter. What's going on here? Must be love. You just gave her a thistle, and she loved it. Ah, I never knew what a thistle was. The reason I'm sharing that with you is because Jesus today talks about how seeds do their thing. And they grow up and do their thing. Part of the doing their thing is producing this beautiful head of, in this case, it was a flower. Didn't know it was a weed. But the word always works. It always works. God says his word goes out and it does the thing that he sent it out to do. In the case of Nineveh, it caused over 100,000 people to come down to their knees and ask God for mercy. In the case of the disciples, it just struck them and they listened attentively to whatever Jesus was going to say because they wanted to know God better. The word always works. Sometimes you don't see it working because it just sprouts up and starts to grow. Sometimes it looks like something else, like a weed, but it always works. That's a come. This is really amazing. It says, to what should we compare the kingdom of God, or with what parable may we picture it? It's like a mustard seed. Go back with me to when Jesus was giving these parables. The crowd of people was too much. So he put out himself into a boat and he taught from a boat. So all the people around there, they know what he's talking about. He's using things all around them that they can understand. So you have farmers, you have fishermen. He talks about farming and fishing. And then what happens? Well, when he talks about farming, seed planting, harvesting, yeah, farmers got that. Yeah, you got that right. And then he says, what should I compare? How God works in the hearts of people, the kingdom of God. What should I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed. If I were a farmer back then, I'd say, what? A mustard seed is a weed seed. A weed seed that looks like nothing, and you plant it, and it grows huge, over 5 foot in a season. Lots of scraggly branches all over the place, just huge sprawling thing, and it spreads like you can't believe. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Its growth is amazing. Now we think about, okay, growth is amazing. Yeah, when Jesus was there, first of all, 5,000 guys came, and then plus women and kids, and he fed them. Another time there was 4,000, and then those times where Jesus was just swamped with people, he couldn't eat, remember that? And now, oh, wait a minute, though. At the end of his life, there were all the disciples left him. There were no crowds. In fact, Mary and John were the ones at the cross. The others were way, way far away. And when you go to Pentecost, even at Pentecost, only 120 people. Where is the growth? The growth comes when God takes his word and plants it and it grows. You never know what God's going to be doing, but those 120 people said, people got to know what Jesus did, how he lived for us, how he died for us and came back to life for us so that we don't have anything to be afraid of in this world, not even death. That news spread from 120 and it doubled every 10 years. It doubled every 10 years. Pretty soon the Roman Empire was not dealing with a handful of Christians. They're dealing with millions of Christians. Millions of Christians. It was spreading like wildfire. And it was a capital offense to be a Christian. In case you don't understand, that means that if someone said you're a Christian, they would assume that the person accusing you of being a Christian was correct. They would assume that you are a Christian and they would put you to death. That doesn't happen a whole lot nowadays. There are some countries that it happens in, but not a whole lot. But for 300 years, that's what it was. You're a Christian? You're out of here. You're a Christian? We're going to kill you. We're a Christian? We're going to take away your job. We're going to take away your family. We're going to take... And they kept on growing because God's word deals with things that are eternal. The growth is phenomenal. A guy by the name of Julian came to power. He was the emperor. And he really tried to get rid of Christianity. And it just didn't go away. When the plagues hit, there were a couple of plagues that hit the Roman Empire. And when the plagues hit, that's when you could see the clear difference between God's family of faith, which is extraordinary, and everything else that this world has to offer. If the plague would hit, what would happen is your family would leave you alone and they would head for the hills and let you die. Because whatever gods you got angry, they didn't want to be messing around with you. My goodness. What a terrible, terrible culture to live in. You're left to fend for yourself. Emperor Julian, who hated Christians, we have a letter of his. Part of that letter reads this way. These Galileans are not only taking care of their own poor, they're taking care of ours. Christians respond to life differently. Families are fractured. In God's family of faith, God says, "Come to me, all of you. I forgive all of you," and you are all in the process of forgiving each other. When Christians would gather together in this first century, they would actually call God Father. They would call God our Father. And what was amazing is they would behave like God was their Father during the week. What an amazing place to be, especially if you had a fractured family. Or you're treated poorly by your family. You know, if you were a woman in the Greek and Roman days, if you had a lot of money or you were connected to one of the emperor's buddies or the Senate or something like that, then they took care of you and they were nice to you. Christians respected the women all the time. Christians took care of and protected women in a day and age when people treated them just a little bit better than dogs. Speaking of dogs, that's how they treated kids. If you didn't like your kid, you just let your child die. It's even hard for me to say, but that's what they did. If they had a child, they didn't want to have the child because it was a boy or it was a girl or whatever it was. For whatever reason, they would just take the child and put it in the garbage pit and let it die. Exposed to or eaten up by wild animals. Is a terrible culture which live, and that's you were a part of the Christian family of faith, which is extraordinary because they love kids. And they followed a Savior who loved children. He didn't tolerate children. He said, "Don't you dare get in the way of kids coming to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such like these." Wow. What kind of a family is that? It's an extraordinary family. And because it was so extraordinary, godlike, in the sense of the true God, people said, "I got to find out more about this." And they told them who Jesus was. The God who knew all about our mess, who stepped into all of our messes, became one of us anyway, took it all on himself, and then died on a cross. Abandoned by everybody, slandered during his last moments of life, and offering up no defense other than, "Father, forgive them." An extraordinary leader, that's our big brother, Jesus Christ. Because when his extraordinary family gathers together, you know what we call each other? We call each other brothers and sisters. You know why? Because God has brought us into his family of faith. At the end of the service, you hear from your pastor's lips, brothers and sisters, go in peace. Because we are brothers and sisters. We are forgiving and we are forgiven. And we are forgiving and it goes back and forth all the time because of what God has done for us. And that's why the kingdom of God continues to grow. How are you doing? When I was growing up, this part I think, oh, okay, that's nice. That's nice for a church to do that. God's parables were not written to manage churches. God's parables were not written to help you manage synods better and corporations better. God's parables were written, spoken, and taught by Jesus so that you and I individually can understand how God works in our hearts, not somebody else's. So how is God working in your heart? Is he growing? Are you growing in the Word personally? Do you open up your own Bible and read your Word from God to you? Are you growing? When you get together with brothers and sisters, do they know that you're a brother and a sister with our same Father who dearly loves us? When you talk to others outside of the family of faith, do you talk up your brothers and sisters? Do you talk up your Heavenly Father? Do you talk up those who preach and teach? Or do you join the rest of the world and cut down everybody? God says, use your words to build up each other. God says, honor one another above yourselves. God says, gather together and worship him and give him honor and glory because he is the Father who dearly loves us. He wants us to know that. So he sent his Son. Jesus is the demonstration of God's love in the flesh, offered up freely for us, resurrected back to life for us. Oh, we serve a great God, our Father in heaven. You belong to an extraordinary family. And because of that, God wants you to know that you're just like a mustard seed. Other people might look at you and say, oh, kind of scraggly, you don't quite fit in. God says, no, 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 you're a part of my way of making sure that God's word spreads out far and wide and people hear the good news of Jesus Christ from your lips. They see how Jesus lives and how you behave. God grant that to all of us for Jesus' sake this week. Amen.